Hello, knowledge seekers. In this episode of 20 Minute Books, we delve into The Myth of American Inequality, a thought-provoking manifesto that challenges prevailing views on economic disparities in the United States. Published in 2022, this work offers a fresh perspective on the nation's economic status, arguing against the widely held belief that America is crippled by vast inequalities. The authors meticulously debunk the notion that poverty is rampant and assert that the financial gap between the wealthy and the less affluent is not as profound as commonly perceived. By scrutinizing flawed official statistics, the myth of American inequality presents a compelling case for reevaluating our understanding of economic fairness in modern America. Our authors bring a wealth of expertise and diverse viewpoints to this analysis. Phil Gramm, a former senator with experience leading the U.S. Senate Banking Committee and now a visiting scholar at the American Enterprise Institute, lends his political and economic insights. Bob Eckelund, a professor of economics at Auburn University in Alabama and an accomplished author of over 20 books, offers an in-depth look at economic history and policy. John Early, a mathematical economist and former assistant commissioner at the Bureau of Labor Statistics, enriches the discussion with his extensive knowledge of labor force dynamics, healthcare, and price change. This book is designed for a broad audience, including politicos, policymakers, historians, economists, and anyone engaged in the ongoing debates surrounding economic justice. The myth of American inequality is more than just a critique. It's a call to rethink and discuss what true economic disparity looks like in today's America. The Myth of American Inequality: How Government Biases Policy Debate. Introduction. Unveiling the truth behind American economic inequality. Imagine navigating through a dense forest with a map that misleads rather than guides. This is akin to our journey through the complex terrain of economic inequality in the United States, where our understanding and decisions are heavily reliant on statistical maps, measures of household income, wealth distribution, and average earnings. Yet, what if these maps are skewing our perception, leading us astray rather than enlightening our path? In the realm of political debate and policymaking, accurate statistics are not just helpful, they are indispensable. They underpin arguments, shape policies, and ultimately determine the direction in which a society moves. However, a mistaken reliance on faulty data can plunge us into futile arguments and prompt us to embrace policies that may do more harm than good. The myth of American inequality plunges into this conundrum, arguing that the conventional statistics framing the United States' economic debates are not just flawed, they're misleading. This misrepresentation fuels populism, exacerbates divisions, and hampers the rational discourse vital for a thriving democracy. Through this exploration, we embark on a quest to rectify our misperceptions and to unveil a more accurate portrayal of inequality and poverty in America. Let's correct the course, recalibrate our compasses, and move forward with facts that illuminate rather than obscure our understanding of economic disparities. This journey is not just about debunking myths, it's about laying the foundation for informed discussions that can lead to effective and equitable solutions. Part 1: Debunking the Myths of a Divided America. In a tale as old as time, or at least as old as modern America, the narrative of a nation crippled by swelling inequality and encroaching poverty prevails. It's the story we hear from voices spanning the ideological spectrum, from Bernie Sanders deeming the income disparity obscene, to The Economist affirming it as a bitter reality. This tale paints a somber picture of a country where the rich feast, while the middle and lower classes face an incessant struggle. Yet, as the saying attributed to Mark Twain goes, our greatest misfortunes may stem not from our ignorance, but from our convictions in falsehoods. The myth of American inequality challenges the very fabric of these accepted truths, urging us to scrutinize what we believe to be facts about income inequality and poverty in the United States. The authors advocate for a reality check, emphasizing that meaningful debate and democratic progress hinge on a correct understanding of the situation. To dive into this contentious topic, distinguishing between inequality and poverty is crucial. While often used interchangeably, these terms sketch different realities. Inequality refers to the income gap between society's highest and lowest earners, a scenario where disparities exist but don't necessarily denote hardship. Poverty, on the other hand, signifies a lack of sufficient income to meet basic needs, a condition that can exist in both equal and unequal societies. However, the authors propose a bold claim. Poverty has dramatically declined in the U.S., to the point where less than 3% of the populace truly faces it. Furthermore, they argue that while income disparities exist, a vast majority of Americans, approximately 97%, enjoy a standard of living that is commendable by both historical and international standards. But to understand the roots of this debate, we must first ask, what is income? According to the U.S. government, income encompasses earnings from work, investments, and various forms of support, such as pensions and alimony. It's a multifaceted measure, encompassing all cash flowing into households. With this definition, households are split into income quartiles or quintiles, offering a stratified view of America's economic landscape. Official statistics paint a dire portrait, suggesting profound poverty and alarming inequality. For instance, in 2017, the average annual income reported for the lowest quintile was a mere $4,908, compared to the top quintile, which averaged at $295,904. Figures that starkly highlight the perceived economic chasm. Yet, the authors beckon us to question these conclusions, hinting at a more complex reality obscured by statistical simplifications. In the forthcoming examination, we're guided to uncover the misrepresentations and misunderstandings that fuel the myth of American inequality. The journey ahead is not merely about challenging numbers, but about rearranging our collective understanding to foster policies and conversations rooted in accuracy and fact. Join us as we peel away the layers of conventional wisdom to reveal the subtler, richer tapestry of economic life in the United States. Part 2. Navigating the hidden impact of government assistance on income statistics. When dissecting the gritty details of how income is measured in the United States, a crucial piece of the puzzle often goes unnoticed: government assistance programs. To comprehend this oversight, we need to journey back to 1947, the year the Census Bureau cemented its method for tabulating income. This model was constructed in a bygone era when cash was king, accurately reflecting the income and purchasing power of American households, since over 90% of employment compensation and government aid was dispensed directly in cash. Fast forward to the present, and the landscape of governmental support has drastically evolved. The contemporary approach to welfare is characterized by in-kind transfer payments, aid provided not as cash but in forms directly usable for specific needs. From the SNAP program, often referred to as food stamps, offering debit cards for food purchases, to directly paid healthcare services, and a myriad of other non-cash benefits like housing assistance and subsidized childcare, these in-kind transfers are an essential lifeline for many Americans. However, the crux of the issue lies in how these benefits are classified, or rather misclassified, in official income data. By adhering to an outdated cash-centric definition of income, the Census Bureau inadvertently omits a significant portion of real-world household income from its calculations. This methodology fails to account for over two-thirds of the $2.8 trillion annually funneled into assistance programs, casting a distorted shadow on our understanding of American economic well-being. Consider the startling revelation that the average household in the lowest income quintile, purportedly subsisting on just $4,908 annually, actually benefits from $45,389 in government transfer payments. This fact demolishes the myth of meager existence for these households, revealing a far greater spending power bolstered by governmental support. This disparity between reported income and actual consumption power is further underscored by data from the Bureau of Labor Statistics, which indicates that the lowest 20% of earners consume at double their income rate thanks to these transfer payments. The significance of this discrepancy extends beyond mere numbers. It pierces the heart of debates on poverty, inequality, and the role of welfare programs in the United States. By neglecting to incorporate the full scope of government aid into income statistics, we not only misrepresent the living standards and wealth distribution in the country, but also undermine the value of these crucial programs. It's not a question of advocating for or against government welfare. It's about recognizing the need for a more accurate, inclusive definition of income that reflects the true economic landscape. Failing to acknowledge the tangible benefits and enhanced spending power afforded by in-kind assistance simply because they do not fit within a narrow, outdated framework of income is to overlook a vital component of the American economic experience. This oversight begs for a critical reassessment of how we measure, understand, and ultimately address economic well-being in the United States. Part 3: Reframing Poverty Beyond the Misleading Data. When we delve into the intricacies of income and poverty statistics, a perplexing picture emerges. One where the actual economic landscape appears significantly different from the narrative painted by official figures. The question that naturally arises then is, have we been overestimating the extent of poverty in America? According to the insightful analysis presented in The Myth of American Inequality, the answer is a resounding yes. To unravel this complexity, let's start with the basics, the official poverty threshold. This measure presupposes a household's financial inability to meet essential needs, with the benchmark varying across different family sizes. The calculation hinges on the cost of a nutritionally adequate diet, adjusted for inflation, and assumes that food consumes a third of a household's after-tax income. Thus, to steer clear of poverty, a household's income must triple its dietary expenditure. Remarkably, despite monumental efforts and declarations to combat poverty from administrations spanning over 5 decades, the official poverty rate has barely fluctuated, hovering between 11 and 15%. This stagnation seems to starkly contrast the billions poured into poverty alleviation programs, a whopping $2.8 trillion in annual transfer payments. So, what's amiss in this calculation? The crux of the issue lies in the underestimation of actual incomes for the lowest quintiles by the official measures, overlooking the substantial government transfer payments. Correcting this oversight offers a dramatic shift in perspective. Take 2017, for example, where the reconsidered income for the poorest 20% surged to $53,610 from meager official estimates, leaving these households significantly above the poverty threshold after all deductions. By including transfer payments, the actual poverty rate collapses to under 3%, a striking divergence from the officially reported 13%. This recalibrated view finds echoes in independent research, which underscores that actual deprivation is much rarer than presumed. Incidences of hunger, malnutrition, or severe housing inadequacies are remarkably low, with homelessness affecting a minuscule fraction of the population. What's more, the affordability and accessibility of what were once considered luxury items have drastically improved. From air conditioning units to personal computers, the ownership of such devices in lower quintile households has skyrocketed, painting a tableau of relative prosperity unheard of in previous generations. Perhaps the most telling revelation is the comparative analysis of household well-being. Astonishingly, 94% of all households in 2017 were found to be at least as well off, if not more, than the top quintile households back in 1967. This statistic not only challenges our preconceptions about poverty and inequality, but also showcases the transformative impact of government assistance programs. Through this lens, the narrative around American poverty demands reconsideration. Instead of a landscape marred by widespread destitution, what emerges is a picture of substantial, albeit imperfect, economic improvement. The key takeaway is clear. By recalibrating our understanding and measurements of income and poverty, we can foster a more informed and productive discourse on economic well-being and inequality. Part 4, the tax factor, a crucial missing piece in the income inequality puzzle. Amid widespread discussions on income inequality in the U.S., a common narrative suggests that households in the top income quintile earn a colossal 16 times more than those in the bottom quintile. However, this startling claim may not stand on solid ground once we scrutinize the nuances of income measurements a bit closer. Mark Twain wittily remarked on the inevitability of taxes alongside death, highlighting their unquestionable presence in our lives. Indeed, taxes shape the financial landscape significantly, with the U.S. adopting a progressive taxation policy. This means the more you earn, the larger a proportion of your income you're expected to contribute to public coffers. This system finances a myriad of government activities, including the very transfer payments that often go unrecognized in income statistics. When we examine income dynamics, we cannot ignore the outflow side of the equation, taxes paid. The Census Bureau's approach, focusing solely on pre-tax income, casts a distorted view on income inequality by neglecting the substantial tax contributions made by higher earners. In reality, the top quintile households part with over a third of their income to taxes, while the top 5% see nearly half their marginal income taxed away. This dynamic starkly contrasts with the negligible 7.5% tax burden shouldered by the bottom quintile households. Thus, a fair assessment of actual income inequality must account for these critical disparities. Let's delve into the numbers for a clearer picture. After considering government transfers, the real income of a bottom quintile household stands impressively close to $50,000. On the other hand, the Census Bureau pegs the average income for a top quintile household at $296,000, a figure inclusive of Social Security, Medicare, and other benefits accounting for about 3% of its income. Subtract the taxes, and the leftover income narrows down remarkably to $189,000. This adjustment reveals that instead of the presumed 16-fold disparity, the top quintile household's income is roughly only 4 times that of its bottom quintile counterpart, a significant recalibration from the original narrative. This reassessment prompts us to ponder the fundamental debates surrounding justice and redistribution that pervade American society. The pressing question isn't simply whether America has struck the optimal balance in its economic structure, or if a shift towards more or less progressive policies is warranted. Instead, the heart of the matter lies in challenging the prevailing assumptions about runaway inequality and the disproportionate wealth of America's affluent. The reality, shaped significantly by taxes and transfers, paints a more nuanced picture of income distribution, one that deviates markedly from the often portrayed extremes. By incorporating the full financial life cycle of households into our analysis, we move towards a more accurate and informed understanding of income inequality, better equipping us to address the complexities of economic disparity. Final summary. The prevailing image of a United States racked by severe poverty and a gaping chasm between the haves and have-nots might not be as accurate as widely believed. When we take a step back, applying a critical eye to the nuances of official statistics and incorporating overlooked factors such as government assistance and taxation, a different narrative begins to unfold, one of unprecedented prosperity and a more nuanced spectrum of economic inequality. Contrary to the grim portrayal that dominates political discussions and media headlines, the evidence suggests that America is actually flourishing. The specter of poverty, while not entirely eradicated, has significantly diminished, with a vast majority of Americans living in conditions that would, historically and globally, be considered well off. This is a testament to the effectiveness of numerous government initiatives designed to uplift those in poverty, demonstrating that the well-being of society's most vulnerable has markedly improved over time. Moreover, the narrative that the wealthiest Americans are accumulating wealth at the expense of the poor misses a crucial part of the story: taxation. The rich do indeed earn substantially more, but they also contribute a larger share of their income to the public treasury. This progressive taxation system plays a pivotal role in redressing economic disparities by financing a wide array of transfer payments and social programs. These measures facilitate a redistribution of resources that significantly tempers the raw edges of income inequality. This recalibrated understanding of American economic dynamics reveals that the seemingly stark divide between rich and poor is, in reality, more bridged than we might believe. The extensive network of social safety nets and the progressive tax structure work in tandem to ensure that prosperity is more evenly spread across the populace. By navigating beyond the surface-level interpretation of data and questioning the assumptions underpinning the discourse on wealth disparity, we unlock a more nuanced, encouraging view of economic conditions in the United States. This insight not only challenges the dire narrative of inequality, but also invites a more informed dialogue on how to foster an even more equitable and prosperous society for all Americans. Thank you for joining me today on this journey of learning and discovery as we explored the insights of another thought-provoking book in our growing library of knowledge. If you've enjoyed our time together, please take a moment to follow our podcast, give us a 5-star rating, and share 20-minute books with other knowledge seekers. Your support truly means a lot. Don't forget to join me again in the next episode, where we will delve into another enriching book. Until then, happy reading and happy listening.